Nearly 3 years ago, scientists announced a so-called rough draft of the sequence of the human genome. Now they're almost done with the final version. NPR's John Hamilton reports they're beginning to plan how to use genetic information that's publicly available.
The announcement opened a genetics conference at the National Institutes of Health. The room was packed with scientists celebrating the 50th anniversary of the discovery of the double helix structure of DNA. Dr. Francis Collins, who heads the National Human Genome Research Institute, delivered the news.
I am pleased and honored, perhaps I should say exhilarated, to declare the goals of the Human Genome Project to be completed.
Well, almost. There are still a few gaps to fill and errors to correct. But Collins, addressing journalists later in the day, said the sequence is now highly accurate and freely available on the Internet to anyone who wants to see it.
We'll be using this for decades, I'd say for centuries. In a short period of time, people will begin to wonder how we ever got by without this information and were able to do any research at all.
That day isn't here yet. Scientists are only beginning to learn how to use the vast amount of data that makes up the human genome, nearly 3 billion basic units of information. So Collins sketched a three-part plan he hopes will guide genomics research. The first part aims to help biologists by providing them with genetic information on as many living things as possible.
We will be supporting the sequencing of lots of additional genomes, just as this is not the post-genome era, because that will be quite some time coming. This is certainly not the post-sequencing era, because the sequencing of additional organisms is turning out to be prodigiously valuable in understanding biology.
Scientists have already sequenced mice and rice, for example. The research will help scientists genetically modify food crops and understand how humans are genetically different from other species. The second part of the plan calls for using genomics to improve health. So far, there's not much to show, but at Britain's Sanger Institute, for example, scientists are learning how to design drugs that counter the effects of abnormal genes. Dr. Mark Walport heads the Wellcome Trust, a charity that's funding the work.
Last year, the Cancer Genome Project team at the Sanger Institute identified that a mutation was significantly involved in the development of malignant melanoma. The link between the mutation and the disease is so clear-cut that drugs are already being designed to block the action of the mutated gene.
Even successful drugs, though, will probably take a decade to reach the market. Impacts on society may arrive sooner. So the third part of the plan tries to protect people from potential harm, such as discrimination based on genetic information. It also attempts to make sure the research benefits everyone. James Watson helped discover the structure of DNA 50 years ago. He told reporters that people with genetic diseases have much to gain and little to fear from the completed human genome.
It's often said, you know, the study of genetics leads to terrible consequences. And I think what really leads to the bad consequences are just random mutations which strike people down often at birth and keep them from living well. So it's this inequality which is, I think, the major enemy.
Even so, societies will need to address new issues of discrimination and privacy before the human genome begins affecting people other than scientists. John Hamilton, NPR News, Bethesda, Maryland.